What is up, everybody? This is Jalen Short, aka Head Honcho, and we are back with another episode of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast. Guys, the NBA is back. Let's go. The NBA is back. Last night we had the Phoenix Suns going up against the Golden State Warriors, and the Lakers played the Nuggets. Man, it was some great basketball games, came down to the wire. But, man, the NBA is back, man. I'm super excited about this season. Super excited to talk to you guys about all of the NBA updates, players, coaches, teams, predictions, all of that stuff, man. I'm super excited. And we're going to touch on some NFL action as well. We're going to talk about, you know, this past week's games and, you know, who can we see moving forward that's going to make a leap and who's going to kind of plateau, I would say. We're going to talk about James Harden as well and the whole Philadelphia 76ers situation. It's interesting, man. He just returned to the team today, but I guess the team didn't want him there, and they don't want him traveling with the team. So, I don't know. We're going to touch on that. But first, let's get into this NBA action, man. Lakers, Nuggets. Nuggets end up winning that game. And watching that game, man, you can just tell the Nuggets are just – they're a well-oiled machine, right? You have guys like Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, of course, Michael Porter Jr. They lost a couple guys, but they're still the Denver Nuggets. They still have that core that won the championship, right? But, I mean, Jamal Murray running that point guard position for them, and he's just so dynamic offensively. He can score in multiple ways, gets to the free throw line, and he has Nikola Jokic as, you know, his guy that he can run pick and rolls with. But the Nuggets are like, I've said this before, the Nuggets are like the new age San Antonio Spurs. It's a more modern game, right? It's a more, you have a guy that can score the ball at a high clip in Jamal Murray. I don't think the San Antonio Spurs had that. Maybe Manu Ginobili can give you a night where he can give you 30 plus, but Jamal Murray can do it any given night. I don't think Manu Ginobili had that, but yeah, it's just a well-oiled machine, man. Nikola Jokic dropped a triple-double. I don't know. It's been speculated in the media. Obviously, I don't know. But people were saying that he didn't touch a ball almost the entire summer. He just lifted weights. I think he said this himself. He didn't really spend any time on the court like that. He just lifted weights and, you know, kind of did his own thing. You know, he loves his horses, right? And did his own thing in Serbia. And to go out there and to play better than Anthony Davis, who's been in the weight room all summer, who's been on the court all summer, dropped a triple-double on him, and Anthony Davis looked helpless out there at times, right? He looked as if Nikola Jokic, his strength is just, you could tell he put on a little weight, and that's expected. You're coming off a championship, you're going to want to party, you're going to want to, you know, chill and do your own thing, and that's fine. And he got back to what he was doing yesterday, and you could just tell, man, that he's just so polished, so gifted, so skilled. And you have to be that way when you're not that athletic, especially when you go up against a guy like Anthony Davis, who is so athletic, long, can block shots. But man, this Nuggets team, they can't repeat with this formula they have. No, like, if no one gets injured and they keep the formula that they have, they keep this core, they can win multiple championships. Because you have teams like this, you have teams like the Phoenix Suns and the Lakers, who they're going to contend with, that the Phoenix Suns have a completely different formula. They have three high, prolific scorers that any one of them can give you 40 on any given night. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, any one of them can give you 40, right? So a team like the Nuggets going up against a team like the Phoenix Suns, man, it's between those two who are coming out of the West, in my opinion. And I haven't decided which one. I'm still kind of contemplating about who's going to come out of the West and who can, you know, come out on top, who can actually game plan the correct way for the opposing team. Because when you have three guys on the opposing team that can score 40, I mean, what can you do? You know, they kind of have an okay supporting cast. They had no supporting cast last season. They have a better supporting cast this year. Grayson Allen, Nasir Little, guys like that, Yusuf Nurkic. Josh Okogie was great last night against the Golden State Warriors. So you have guys like that who can make plays when needed, spot up shooters, guys like that. But the main primary playmakers and scorers are obviously going to be those three guys. And like I said, any given night, maybe Kevin Durant has 38, Devin Booker has 35, Bradley Beal has 29. And that's the bulk of your points, right? So if I'm the Denver Nuggets, how do I combat that? How do I say, all right, you guys can go score almost 80 as a trio and we can still win this game, right? So it's going to be tough for the Nuggets. I'm not sure how they will defend that. It's going to be something to watch for sure. But, you know, talking about the Lakers, I mean, Anthony Davis didn't score in the second half of that game last night. And that's upsetting. It's so upsetting. He ended with 17 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists, and 2 blocks. That's very upsetting. He played 34 minutes. When you're a guy on a team with LeBron James, who's in his 21st season in the NBA, he's about to turn 39 in December. When you're on a team with a guy like that, you have to... He's said multiple times that this is Anthony Davis' team. We play through him. We go as he goes. But everyone has yet to see Anthony Davis say, you know what, I'm going to take this big responsibility. I'm going to take these responsibilities and put it on my shoulders. We've yet to see it. Especially last night. We wanted to see Anthony Davis come out aggressive. He came out aggressive, I would say. But he didn't come out aggressive in the second half. We wanted to see him dominate. Especially going up against the defending champs, who they had a lot of back and forth in the offseason, had a lot of back and forth at the end of last season. But everyone wanted to see Anthony Davis versus Nikola Jokic. And Nikola Jokic did what he does. Like I said, triple-double. I mean, he had 29 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists. And it was just like, he played 36 minutes. It was just like a regular game for him. And he literally almost hasn't picked up a ball in a month or so, right? But like I said, I don't know when Anthony Davis is going to take that next step. We don't even mention him when it comes to the top players in the league anymore. He's not in that discussion because he's so inconsistent. He needs to take care of his body more, I would say, this season. I would like to see him play more than 65 games. That's the minimum for the All-NBA requirements and all of that. I would like to see him play maybe 70 games this season. But who knows, man? Darvin Ham, I believe that he needs to bring more focus to Anthony Davis and say, hey, you're our guy. You need to play up to your standard. He's one of the most talented players in the league. You need to play up to your standard. We can't have LeBron James, who's about to turn 39, play 35 plus minutes a game. We can't do that, right? LeBron James played 29 minutes last game, and I like that. I like that area for him. 29 to 32 minutes a game. That's great for LeBron James at this stage of his career. You can't expect him to go out and play 35, 38, 39 minutes a game and, you know, just expect him to score 30 like he did last year. He averaged almost 30 points a game last season, which, I mean, that's great for a 38-year-old, but you can't expect him to do that again this season when you have a guy that's 30 years old, Anthony Davis, who's perfectly capable of averaging close to 30 points a game this season, a double-double, actually. But, you know, the Lakers, they have, like I said, their supporting cast is better now. They added Gabe Vincent. They added Torian Prince. They still have Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, guys like that. They have a solid team. They have a solid unit. But, like I said, matching up with a team like the Denver Nuggets, I don't know how you beat that team in a seven-game series. I just honestly don't. You didn't do it last season. You got swept. And honestly, it was because of Anthony Davis, I would say. Like, obviously, it wasn't all because of him, but he just needs to play better in that series. But, I mean, that was last season. What can you say? But this season, they need to come out and say, you know what? Anthony Davis, you're our guy. Just give the ball to him and everyone get out the way. But Golden State, let's talk about Golden State really quick and Phoenix. Like I said, I touched on Phoenix earlier. I mean, they have three. Bradley Beal didn't play last night. But they have three scorers who can give you 30-plus any given night. And Golden State, watching them, it was different, right? When you have a guy like Chris Paul, who they acquired this summer, when you have a guy like him who's used to getting the ball and taking a lot of dribbles, a lot of time off the shot clock to get a good shot, it's an adjustment. And compared to a team like Phoenix, I do believe that they need to adjust more and faster than Phoenix. Because adjusting to a scorer is easy, right? When you have a guy that can score the ball and you can score the ball as well, it's a simple, you know, pass, kick. You're just passing the ball more. You're just getting a guy to passing to a guy's spot more. You're just communicating more on offense, and you're just moving without the ball more. That's when you have an additional scorer on your team that you're not used to, right? But when you have a guy like Chris Paul, who's point guard that dominates the ball, takes a lot of dribbles, and makes sure he gets a good shot every possession, when the Golden State Warriors are used to just running, it's a track meet when you're out there. You're running to a spot, coming off of screens, moving without the ball, a lot of off-ball screens, DHO, stuff like that. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of implement Chris Paul and all of that. Because, like I said, he's not used to playing that style of basketball, especially at this stage of his career. He's an older guy, veteran. And coming into this season, I honestly thought he was going to do that. He was going to dominate the ball. He was going to allow Steph Curry to play off the ball more and play the two, and you know, Klay could be at the three, and they can just move off ball, and Chris Paul can get everyone into their spots. But last night, I saw that they don't really play as fast as they used to compared to last season. So I don't know how that's going to work, and I don't know how Steve Kerr is going to adjust to that. Draymond Green didn't even play last night, and that's another adjustment coming on the court, right? Draymond Green is used to getting the ball off the rim and taking off and finding shooters. You know, so playing with a guy like Chris Paul, where does he fit in that? Does he go to the corner? Does he try to get the ball from Draymond? Does he, you know, does he try to slow everything down? So that's another adjustment. Kevon Looney's going to start. I think he should start because that's the only reliable big you have on that team. And he plays his role extremely well. He's one of the best role players in the league. And Chris Paul may come off the bench and run that second unit. Or you might bring him. You might have your starters play extended minutes in the first quarter and bring him in almost the entire second quarter with that second unit. You know, who knows? But with Steve Kerr, I'm sure he's going to cook up something. I'm sure he's going to talk to those guys and make sure those guys are on the same page, make sure everyone's on the same page within that rotation. But yeah, those four teams, man, the Lakers, Nuggets, Phoenix Suns, and Golden State Warriors, they can contend for a championship, but I just think the Nuggets are just on a completely different level now. Coming off that championship, they have so much confidence right now. Jamal Murray, I hope this season is his first All-NBA season. He hasn't been an All-Star yet, hasn't made All-NBA team yet. I hope this season is that season for him because he needs that recognition, right? He needs that validation that he can be one of the top guys in the league, and he is. Based on the last playoff run that they had, he's been playing tremendous, right? He had it. This summer, I believe, was the first summer that he could really work on his game because he's coming off injuries last year, kind of getting back into his rhythm, you know, things like that. But like I said, the Nuggets are just on a completely different level right now. They're just a well-oiled machine. They know where everyone's going to be. They know how everyone plays. And Mike Malone, he's a great game manager. He knows that Nikola Jokic runs the show. He just wants to support those guys and just make sure those guys are on the same page, you know, when it comes to, you know, off the court things and stuff like that. But we have a lot of games tonight as well. But I'll just talk about my predictions really quick, and then we'll touch on James Harden. Man, acquiring the Boston Celtics, they acquired Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis. When you have those two guys that can score and they can defend. Drew Holiday is one of the best, if not the best, perimeter defender in the league. He's 6'5", almost 6'6", can guard bigger guys. That was great for Boston, especially losing a guy like Marcus Smart. That was great for Boston. So hats off to the Boston Celtics. Bringing Kristaps Porzingis, that's a lot of length. I believe he's 7'2", 7'3". Shoot the three ball, can put the ball on the floor, post up. Very skilled, right? That's a guy that can be your third scorer. I don't think Drew Holiday is going to be the third scorer because Jrue Holiday is he's primarily a defender. Everyone knows that. And he can score at times, but he's not a guy that looks to score the ball. He just kind of fits in where he needs to and shoots open shots when he can and maybe takes advantage of certain matchups when he can. But Kristaps Porzingis is a great third option for them. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Kristaps Porzingis, that's a great trio. I think that starting lineup with Jrue Holiday, Jay Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, and Kristaps, that's a great starting lineup for them. That's a lot of length on the floor. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I believe they're one of the two better two-way players. They can defend as well. Jason Tatum being 6'10", and, you know, Jaylen Brown being the strong, you know, guy he is, he can defend and move his feet as well. So that's going to be tough for a team like the Milwaukee Bucks. And let me tell you why. When you have a guy like Giannis, 7 feet, 6'11", he can put the ball on the floor. He's a freight train coming down the lane. And Brook Lopez, 7'1", he's super long, strong guy, can block shots. You have those two guys in the paint. You have maybe a Chris Middleton, 6'7", you know, can defend as well. At this stage of his career, obviously, he may be losing a little bit on the defensive end, but he can still defend guys and stay in front of guys. And maybe you have Pat Connaughton in there as well, you know, who can play the two and basically kind of guard the opposing team's best wing player, maybe. Maybe Chris Middleton can do that. Maybe Giannis can do that as well. But either one of those guys can take that challenge. And you have Dame at the one. So as far as matchups, that's a great matchup across the board. I don't think maybe Al Horford at this stage of his career, I don't think he can guard Giannis head up like he did in past years. Maybe they put that challenge on Kristaps. Who knows? But I think they still will rely on Al Horford to have that matchup as the entire game. So those two teams are my top two teams in the East. And the West, like I said, Denver and Phoenix, it's tough. But right now, seeing Phoenix and Denver play, even though Bradley Beal didn't play for the Suns, I'm going to say Denver is going to come out on top. Denver coming out of the West, and I have more confidence in a team that's done it before, that's won before, and that's the Milwaukee Bucks. So Denver and Milwaukee for me, and I think Milwaukee takes that series in maybe six games maybe, just because of the physicality aspect of it. Brook Lopez, the matchups are great for Milwaukee as well. You don't have a guy that can stop Giannis. You can only hope to slow him down. Maybe Aaron Gordon takes that challenge guarding Giannis. You know, you never know. They can throw different bodies at him. Losing a guy like Jeff Green really hurt the Denver Nuggets because he was a guy that they can throw at different defenders. Threw him at Jimmy Butler a lot of the times, and Jason Tatum as well. I mean, excuse me, not Jason Tatum. They threw him at Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo as well in that final series. So, I mean, losing a guy like that, it kind of hurts you. But, yeah, I think the Milwaukee Bucks are the most, I would say, not complete team, but they're the most equipped to win the championship this season, other than the Denver Nuggets. But let's talk about James Harden really quick. I want to touch on that. I mean, James, I just want you to get on the court, man. It's a lot of talk. It's a lot of going back and forth. I understand you had some personal issues. Came out, said you had some personal issues with your mother. And I just want this guy to get on the court. Simply put, you have a team in the Philadelphia 76ers who aren't going to be, they're going to be a good team, obviously, with a guy like Joel Embiid, averaged 33 last year, you know, MVP the regular season. They're going to be a good team. They're just not going to do anything in the playoffs, I would say. James wants out of there. I can honestly tell that just by his comments about Daryl Morey and all of that this summer. He doesn't want to be there, but he doesn't want to keep being fined either. So he tried to come back to the team. They didn't want him. They said, we don't want you to travel with the team, unfortunately. So I just believe that he just needs to put his head down and go to work, you know, and try to win games. Simple as that. You know, you may not like your situation, but there are a lot of people in this world that don't like their situation. They just go to work and figure it out, right? So James, he wanted to go to L.A., wanted to go to the Clippers. But I don't think that's happening. If the Clippers do that, that would be the dumbest thing that they do. But Yeah, Philly is not in a good spot right now with this whole James Harden situation. I just think he just needs to get on the court. Simple as that. But let's move to the NFL, man. I want to talk about my Bears really quick. The Bears first got a much needed win against the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Raiders didn't play well at all. I mean, granted, they have their backup quarterback. We get it. But, I mean, still, they didn't play well. Max Crosby, he was held, you know, in control, relatively in control. You know, he's still Max Crosby. He's still one of the best pass rushers in the league. But Tyson Bagent, he played a solid game for a rookie quarterback. I mean, 21 for 29, 162 yards and one touchdown. He only got sacked one time. He was great. He was great. He managed the game well. Didn't let anything ride on him or anything like that. He just went in there and just played football. Simple as that. B2 guy, didn't get a lot of recognition coming out of college. And he just did what he did. And you can only tip your hat off to a guy like that, because in the NFL, a lot of things can rattle you. A lot of things can throw you off your game, especially being a rookie, especially being your first pro start. But he didn't let anything faze him. He has that it. He's the guy that has a lot of moxie. He's just has a little swag to him. You know, he goes out there and he just plays football like he's in his backyard. And he didn't think too much, went through his progressions a lot, and he made plays. And that's all you can ask for in a rookie quarterback. The Bears running game was great that game. Dante Foreman, 18 carries, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a receiving touchdown as well. He played it great. I don't understand why he was inactive these games during this season. I don't get it. I really don't. That's another questionable decision by the Bears, you know, coach staff and front office or whatever. They just made a lot of questionable decisions this entire season, but that's neither here nor there. DJ Moore in that game, eight receptions for 54 yards. It was just a solid game overall by the Bears. Defense played tremendous, got stops when they needed to. A lot of guys made plays. Jalen Johnson had 2 interceptions. Jermaine Evans had 1 interception. We got turnovers. I mean, that's all you can ask for from this Bears defense, especially, you know, when we were allowing a lot of long games on third down. We're stopping people on third down now, which is great. But, it's moving forward. Obviously, Tyson Bagent he's only going to play, you know, until Justin Fields comes back. You know, that's his only, you know, kind of area to do what he wants. But when Justin Fields comes back, you know, it's all about winning again. You know, we want to put wins on the board. And they don't think he's going to play this week against the Chargers. They may say he's going to play, you know, in week 9 or week 10. We play the Saints in week 9 and we play the Panthers in week 10. So maybe he comes back week 10 against the Panthers. Maybe he comes out week 9 against the Saints. Who knows? But this week is going to be Bajan again. And like I said, he showed the city of Chicago that he can play football. So no one's panicking right now, because we've seen that he can do good. But you never know. Anything can happen with this Chicago Bears football team, as we know and as we saw this season. But some more NFL action. Lamar Jackson played great against the Detroit Lions. He's earning every bit of his money. He's against one of the best defenses in the NFL. He just went off. 21 for 27, 357 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Didn't get sacked at all. 95 QBR. He just played great, man. 9 carries for 36 yards and 1 touchdown on the ground. Man, it was tremendous. It was tremendous to see him just flourishing in that offense. And you didn't expect this from the Detroit Lions. Dan Campbell has that team playing great football. You didn't expect this from them, because they've been playing great all season. And Lamar just came out and just dominated. He dominated the entire Detroit Lions defense. If this Ravens team continues to play the way they play, they're 5-2 right now. They can obviously win the AFC North. And they can be maybe the second seed going into the playoffs if they continue to play the way they play. you know, Kansas City and maybe Miami is going to be the first seed. But if they continue to play the way they play, maybe it might be a 2-3 seed going into the playoffs, and that's a great situation for them. But, yeah, Lamar played great. He's earning every bit of his money. He's showing people why he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he's only one of three MVPs in the league right now that are currently active players: Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Lamar Jackson. Those three guys. So I believe that we need to treat Lamar like he's won an MVP before. Expect more from him. Don't criticize him when he doesn't, I would say, doesn't perform to his standard because of other people. We can't do that, right? We can't, like, maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, receivers were dropping passes. That's not his fault, right? We can't blame him for that, but we can hold him to a higher standard as far as the quarterback position and quarterback play. And the way he played at the quarterback position against the Detroit Lions, one of the best defenses in the NFL, like I said, it was tremendous to see. So moving forward, Baltimore needs to keep this up. I mean, they just need to ride this Lamar Jackson wave for as long as they can, and you know, hopefully it leads them to playoff wins. Because the money is earned in the playoffs. You know, they've had success in the regular season before. But when come playoff time, they need to show that, hey, this is a good team. And I really hope to see it. But let's talk about the Eagles and the Dolphins really quick. The Eagles got a great win against the Dolphins, 31-17. Tua Tagovailoa in that game, 23 for 32, 216 yards, one touchdown, one interception. The Dolphins didn't really have a great game. They only scored 10 points offensively. They had a pick six, so that's what made it 17 points. It wasn't a great showing by the Miami Dolphins. And Mike McDaniel, he has to figure out what works for this team against good teams, right? You have to figure out how to get the edge against good defenses. And Jalen Hurts looked amazing. And you had to give credit where credit is due for Philly. Came out, ran the ball, and A.J. Brown, I mean, he's different. He was made in a lab or something like that. He has a different makeup than everyone else. He's just built different, literally and figuratively. 10 receptions for 137 yards and one touchdown. It's the stuff that he does, man, it's not even fair. So the Eagles stand at 6-1. Miami's 5-2. The Eagles are still the team to beat, obviously, in the NFC because they won it last season. And with a team like the 49ers, who lost against the Vikings unexpectedly, I would say, Brock Purdy in that game didn't play well at all, and that's the reason why they lost. 21 for 30, one touchdown, two interceptions. They lost 22-17. And they just, overall, the 49ers didn't play well at all. Their defense wasn't good. I watched that game. Offense was lackluster. This wasn't a great showing for them. And at this point, like I said, last week after they lost, after the 49ers lost, I said they were still the best team in football. I don't know that now. I think the Philadelphia Eagles might be the best team in football at this point just because of how they played against the Miami Dolphins, one of the best offenses in the NFL, how they contained them. But we shall see in the playoffs. Like I said, big money's earned in the playoffs. Jalen Hurts got paid too. Big money's earned in the playoffs. We have to see what's going to happen and who's going to come out on top in the NFC. So with that being said, this is the end of the show, guys. I appreciate everyone listening. Make sure you guys go follow my Instagram and Twitter pages. I'm going to link those in the description of this episode below. This is Jalen Shore, a.k.a. Head Honcho, and we'll see you guys next week.